The name of the book is Man Up, Cracking the Code of Modern Manhood. Carlos Andres Gomez, thank you very much for taking time out. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Joe. It's great to be on with you.
A great pleasure to have you with us. What brought you to this particular subject of trying to crack this code?
I think I get the question a lot, especially about the title. When I was a kid, the phrase was one that really haunted me. People telling me to man up, saying that I embodied all these characteristics that they told me were womanly traits or feminized traits. And a lot of them were just things that inherently were part of who I was, but it didn't coincide with the ways that I had been told by a lot of people around me to be a man. Like, I was sensitive, I was creative, I was an affectionate kid. And I think that struggled for a lot of my life, feeling like I was inadequate because I didn't, you know, neatly fit into this kind of old sort of a one-dimensional caricature of this tough guy I've been told to be. I wanted to give permission to guys, but also to people of, you know, all different types of genders, sexualities, backgrounds, to embrace who they authentically are instead of the image that oftentimes we feel like we have to fit into.
So you talk about the title. What does it mean to you to man up?
I mean, the whole point with the book is I want to change the definition. I think the way it oftentimes is used now is in a really destructive way. You know, guys will use it to encourage, you know, to drink the ninth shot of tequila or to go drag racing down the street or to sleep with a woman or whatever it might be. And I think, you know, the phrase isn't going away. You see it in, you know, beer commercials, Dodge Ram commercials. You see it, you know, in movies and TV. And I think I want to try to reclaim the phrase to, you know, with kind of a wink to it to encourage guys to break out of the box and to be things that are maybe not traditionally thought of as things that guys can embody.
Man up in the sense of being a better person.
Absolutely, yeah. I think being a better person, being a more authentic person, being a more vulnerable person, a more open person, a more transparent person, as opposed to the way I think now, it's a lot of it the opposite. I feel like it's about, you know, being monosyllabic, not communicating, not knowing yourself, not expressing what you're feeling, and then having your life and your behavior oftentimes be a symptom or a reaction against not being aligned with what you actually are.
Your book is fascinating because as I was reading it, I kept on thinking about there are really two issues here. Obviously, there is what we do individually as men, and then there's also how that is perceived by our culture. One you can change, one you can't. At least not overtly, immediately.
Yeah. You're talking about the one that we can't change is the perception by culture, you mean?
Yes.
I mean, well, I think that's the whole point. I mean, the only way that perception culturally ever changed is by getting a critical mass of people who say, you know what, what we accept as a status quo is outdated and that in essence is wrong, not the way that we inherently are or a reaction to the way we were taught to grow up. So I think that change does come about. If you look at things that were, you know, perceptions and culture, I mean, the story of history is about that perception changing. So I think it's like getting that critical mass of people to shift with things, what the definitions that we accept as just the way things are. And hopefully, you know, with this book and with the conversations that have come out of it, we can start to do that and start to actually shift that perception.
When you think about this, the word sensitive is often used, and it's something that seems to be unnatural, and yet for many men is something that is shunned, and it seems as though society often shuns it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it, a question I've been getting a lot, it's funny, people, you know, a lot of guys have been calling into shows and they'll say, you know, what are you trying to make us all, you know, these sensitive, weepy artists like you and all your poet friends or all your writer friends or all your, you know, your literary friends. And, you know, first of all, I think, you know, not to say that we are that, but I think there's a stereotype about what it means to be the opposite of this model of a guy. And I think that definitely acknowledging that we are sensitive beings and that we are emotional beings is a big thing. Because I think when I was growing up, I was taught to believe that as a guy, I couldn't even acknowledge that I had emotion. The goal was to try to erase it from my being, and then find a way to never have anybody even know that I had emotion that existed inside of me. So I think, you know, a lot of this now is just to give guys permission to say, listen, you may not express your sensitivity in the same way. It doesn't mean, you know, sobbing in public necessarily. It could mean that. But it just means to acknowledge that you are a being that has this complexity and has this emotion and has things happening inside that, especially as guys, I feel like a lot of us aren't given permission to talk about. So I want us to have permission to acknowledge that it exists and grapple with what that means and how that's connected to who we are.
When you look at how the perception of manning up, and it does become a bit of a stereotype and a caricature, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean that's the image that I and a lot of that gets tracked in the book. I think something that I've had very conflicted feelings about is you know, the book oftentimes is characterized, it's like Sheldon's self improvement or self help, which is not something that I can't really wrap my head around necessarily. I'm not even sure what that necessarily means, but the book being Shelter, I think people have this idea of this person who you know, has it all figured out, this kind of sterile, prescriptive, very clean, neat narrative of what people need to do. And I think the book really is about just evidence and a narrative of that journey going through and even at times grappling with that caricature. Because, you know, when I was an adolescent, I believed that was the only way that I could be a man, was to be this caricature. So I would do push-ups, and I wanted to hook up with as many girls as possible, and I wanted to be the playboy and the basketball star and all these things. And I think that's a much more honest and a much more resonating journey to a lot of other guys, is that a lot of us, sometimes, especially when we're teenagers, we struggle with feeling like we have to be something, and then it's about that journey of coming out of that and seeing how absurd it was that I felt like I had to be, you know, literally like a cartoon instead of, you know, who I was.
And you do write in the book about very personal sexual experiences, but that's very much part of the story, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I've been a little surprised by, I think a lot of people have really appreciated the candidness about, you know, different parts of even my sexual coming of age. I think it's obviously an inherent part of any discussion you're going to have about gender or coming of age as a man. You're going to have to talk about sex. And I used to be a social worker, and I used to work with you know, 12-year-old heroin addicts and 9 and 10-year-old girls that were commercially sexually exploited. So I mean, I've been used to talking about sex in a very candid way, and I think with this book, seeing the way people have grappled with, either reacted and loved certain parts of my candidness, or other people who've reacted against it in another way, they've been surprised or shocked by it. I realize how I guess everyone doesn't deal quite as frankly as I think I've been accustomed to in both my work as a social worker, but also, you know, the way that I communicate compared to some other people. But I think, you know, I think that that's really an inherent piece of what this is about, is about expressing the, you know, me talking about the really big mistakes and the missteps, and also the situations where I've learned from, where I've maybe been at my best and times when I've been at my worst.
And without getting overly psychological and reading too much into this, does the act of, this book came out of a one-man show, and you being alone on stage and sharing these stories with an audience, does the empathy that you get and the feeling and the vibe from that audience sort of allow you to grow on this idea, to ponder it, and ultimately to think about it more for the book?
Absolutely. I mean, I think in terms of the play was a gateway into writing the book. So I just want to be clear. It wasn't the same process. It was, you know, two different projects.
Right.
I think that definitely that process, though, of being with an audience, when you look in people's faces, I think when you share really vulnerable things and you still see that an audience, that a group of people that are complete strangers to you, they're feeling something. They're moved emotionally. You can see the resonance in their face at that moment as you're saying something. I think that definitely helped give me courage to really dive into this book, and know that, I think, just in reactions that people had to the play, which was also very vulnerable and had some different stories in the book, but to see how much people connected to those stories from a wide range of life experiences that were, you know, very different than mine. You know, I mean, it was, you know, gay men and older women that were grandmothers and, you know, 15-year-old Puerto Rican kids. It was just like a wide range of people, and to see how much different parts of my story that maybe I didn't expect really resonated with them, it made me feel, give me the courage to try to dive into this book and share some stuff that if I didn't know the affirmation of that experience of the play, I think I probably never would have even considered doing the book and sharing some of these really vulnerable parts of my story that ultimately I think all of us have that, those parts of our stories, but most of us understandably don't maybe try to spend most of our lives hiding or pushing those things away. When in reality, in sharing them and realizing that other people have them, there's a tremendous sense of freedom and even catharsis. And that's what I'm hoping to do with the book is make people feel, give other people courage to share parts of their story and to own parts of their story that maybe they've been ashamed of in the past.
When all is said and done, at the end of the day, what do you hope men get out of this book?
I think it's not just men, but it's also women. I hope that both men and women, people from all different backgrounds, can feel courage to embrace their authentic selves and not feel like they have to shift everything in their lives around to meet what some other person or what they feel like society tells them they have to be. And I think that the struggle that every single person can relate to, trying to carve out your identity and your organic place in this entire chaos that we call life. I hope that people can feel a sense of permission and take some courage from reading that up.
Do you think everyone has a time of day at a time in their life when they are authentic in the sense of they have something to look to strive for that I want to be more like this? This is when I am my most authentic.
Yeah, I know for me, and I'm not a parent, but I'm sure parents could say this. I know, like, when I play with my little brother and sister, when I'm with family that I feel loved and supported by, and I feel like I'm enough, and I feel like I matter, and I feel like I'm irreplaceable, I think it's around those people that my most authentic, grounded, and fullest self comes out. I think that's probably something that a lot of people can relate to when they, you know, they come home and they see their baby. You see all this. You literally see people's face light up, and you see their spirits, you know, kind of shine out of their chest. And I think that's a great starting place. I think being an artist and sharing myself through my writing, but also through my performance, I have that experience to try to share that self that I think is most alive when I'm around, you know, my little brother and sister, or my dad or my mom, and I try to bring that person into rooms when I'm performing or speaking with people, whether it's an auditorium or you know, in a bookstore. I think that ultimately it's about trying to let that person live in more parts of your life than just around closed doors, you know, in the holidays or on your birthday, when you're kind of tucked away from the world with those people that you feel most comfortable with.
The book is Man Up, and it's very well written and very powerful. It is published by Gotham Books. Carlos, a great pleasure to have you on the program. I wish you all the luck in the world, and congratulations on just a terrific book and terrific work that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Joe. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the thoughtful interview.
Thank you very much. A great pleasure. Again, the name of the book is Man Up, Cracking the Code of Modern Manhood by Carlos Andres Gomez. It is published by Gotham. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.